sings, my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! Oh, how great you are! Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church on Saturday night? I'd rather be here than anywhere else I can think of tonight. Amen. We had church here Wednesday night, didn't we? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Wasn't it good? Amen. Just so good. And well, we're just looking to what the Lord would have for us again tonight. We know it's going to be good. We don't know what it's going to be, but we know it's going to be good. He'll give us exactly what we have need of tonight, won't he? Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Let's give him a real good hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would, let's stand while we look at our prayer request. Brother Joel Brown, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. First of all, let me offer this thank you card from the Howard family. They want to say thank you for your thoughts, your prayers, gifts, all the love and everything that you've done for them. They just want to say they sincerely appreciate your kindness, and that is from the Howard family. We love Brother Howard and his family, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. The request is this, Sister Jane Terrell. She fell and broke her foot yesterday. So we want to remember her in prayer. I want to continue to pray for Brother Gene Terrell also. I think he's undergoing some chemo treatments, and I know that's probably been pretty devastating, so let's remember Brother Gene as well. Want to pray for Brother Joe Harris tonight, having back pain and able to be in the service, so let's remember Brother Joe as we pray. Want to pray for Joel Berge. He's going to court on Monday. His wife is filing for divorce, so let's remember that situation, that the Lord would just be mindful of their problems. We just commit it all unto the Lord. Brother Brandon Green says to please remember his Uncle Steve's family in prayer. He passed this morning. Remember his daughter, Raina, and his wife, Dawn Brandon. So we want to remember those folks as they go through this time of their life, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts and be with them. This announcement, there were several items that are on tables over in the fellowship hall. Please check the table to see if anything belongs to you. They will be disposed of. So before that happens, if you want to go by and see if you have an item there, you can take it with you this weekend, because they will be disposed of. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have needs, I know there's many needs among us, but aren't you glad you've got a source to go to? Yes. Somebody say praise the Lord. We kind of like this guy right here too, don't we? Amen. We love you, buddy.
God is good. I believe we're stepping into the vision. I am. I may not look like it. I may not act like it, but I am. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We love you. We extol you. We give you the supreme place, O Father. And we know because of the trappings of humanity, we can't always say that. But yet the reality is we are stepping into the vision of who you said that we shall be. And that's not just us individually, but that's your bride around the world. And we're calling you on the scene tonight on behalf of these requests, these prayers, Father. The same blood from the same body on the same day that brought healing also brings salvation, also brings deliverance. So may you, as we just said, have the preeminent spot, the preeminent place in this service tonight. And Lord, I don't doubt one bit that if that were to take place, Father, then you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever conceive, that all we could ever ask, Father. So these people that's written these requests down, Sister Jane, Brother Gene, Lord, different ones, Lord, thinking of Sister Jill Fleeman, different ones, Father God, that's going through seasons in their lives where it seems like sickness is trying to get the victory. But Lord, eternal life is eternal life, and that's what we're holding on to, and that's what we place before us, Father, that well body. We place salvation, we place a changed body before us, and we're moving toward it, Father. So everything that's said and done tonight, may it be for your glory. Every word that comes forth from the man of God's mouth, every amen that comes forth from our lips tonight, Father, may it be received of you as a sacrifice of praise. So let us set aside the trap and the goings on of today. Lord, the things that's happened, the things that we've heard, the things that we've seen. And Lord, in faith, let us look to you tonight, Father, and pull on that gift of God that'll bring deliverance, that'll bring salvation, that'll bring encouragement to the body, Father. Forgive us where we failed you and help us to enter more into the service tonight. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting in the service with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of our streamers, we want to say God bless our streamers tonight. I hope this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I guess we're having screen problems, so we'll try to keep it pretty simple and do something that Brother Harry knows. So praise the Lord. Running my last mile home, you know that, don't you? Yes, we're running. We're not crawling. We're not creepy crawlers. We're running our last mile home. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say I am an overcomer. You're not a survivor. You're an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Somebody say I am an overcomer. I will win this battle. Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Praise the Lord.
Come to the end of my journey. Live my lifetime for this day alone. Well, I just saw the light and I'm getting a little anxious. I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running the last mile. Says my God led me wrong. The deserts and the valleys lie behind me. The road ahead straight and I'm running my last mile. Yes, I started out walking, but I'm running my last mile.
Thank you.
Amen. The Gilruth Trio, if you'll come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. You might ought to do that last verse one more time. Let them know just what we think about the situation.
The last verse?
The last verse. Sing it like you believe it.
Heaven's claimed so many smiling faces, till I don't feel at home here anymore. Just heard the sound of old familiar voices, but they're singing a new song I never heard before. Yes, they're singing a new song I never heard before. Ring the bell, blow the horn, shout hallelujah, joy will roll on back, let me through.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. We love this group here too, don't we? Give them a nice hand as they sing for you tonight.
My shepherd, he goes before me, defender behind me, I won't fear, I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear. Mountains and valleys, His joy is refreshing, restores my soul, mercy and goodness gives me assurance that I'll see His glory.
Organization or any kind of preparation. Brother Louie likes the element of surprise on the devil. But he's right. If you could suffer with me one more night, you have a break. I took your gift, I bore your shame, and I would do it all again. My open arms reached out in grace to pull you in to love's embrace.
It's been spoken in a thousand different ways. Yet the cross said more than words could ever say. There was no hill too steep for me to climb, no road too long or hard to make you mine. I gave all I had to give, and it was worth the cost to say I love you from an old rugged cross. I left my home, I came so far from where I was to where you are. The bitter tears, the lonely aches, the many ways a heart can break. And you were at the center of it all, to free you from the prison of the fall. There was no hill too steep for me to climb, no road too long or hard to make you mine. I gave all I had to give, and it was worth the cost to say I love you from an old rugged cross. Say I love you, my bride, to say I love you from an old rugged cross.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How can one comprehend such love as that? For a man to be able to lay down his life for his friend, that would be a great thing. But when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't just love you enough to save you. He's loved you enough to put up with you after he saved you. Which for most of us has been more trouble than what it was and was lost. Right? Well, you look at me, I was 12 years old when I got saved, and I'm 62, be 63 in a few weeks. So how many years you figure you put up with me since I've been saved? 51 since I've been a Christian, Brother Terry. But His grace is so, so wonderful. Praise God. Aren't you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Such a great privilege for us. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, if you would. Verse 9. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that I realize is going to be very, very difficult. No doubt you've experienced hardships this week and sicknesses, maybe trials, tests, all kinds of things that you've been through. But I want you as much as you can to be able to let go of what's around us, what we've dealt with this week. And let us move from this world to our new home. I know it's going to be hard because it's so, so different. It'll be so contrasting just from the beginning. I'm just going to let you know that right up front. But I believe we can do it. Amen. If you will help, and I'll do my best. If you do yours, and we know the Lord will do His. Amen. So let us take a journey. Some of our folks are gone on vacation in different places. Some leaving tomorrow. Some taking cruises. And some going to Alaska and cruising here and there. And folks vacating. But let us move for a little while to a place that will be more than a vacation spot. It will actually be your future home where you will live forever. But I do warn you, if we leave here tonight and we're able to transcend time and to be able to move into that realm for just a bit, it'll make it hard on you when you come back. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, "Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So now get in your mind how large this place is. From Canada to Florida, from the East Coast, 600 miles past the Mississippi. That's just how big it sets this way. And then imagine it sets that same distance up this way. And I saw a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And we'd like to be remembered as we pray tonight. Let's just hold our request in our hearts. Lord Jesus, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken, first of all, we want to enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving. We want to thank you for redeeming us, for loving us, for caring for us so much. Lord Jesus, you didn't just say you loved us, but you proved it. And that's the kind of people we want to be. We don't want to just say we love God. We want to prove our love to you by our obedience, our submission to your word, doing what you've called us to do. Heavenly Fathers, we approach your great word tonight. We need your help. For us momentarily to be able to leave this place, for our minds, our spirits, our souls to be able to be caught up into that blessed place that you have gone to prepare for us. Lord, to be able to lay aside our troubles, our problems, worries that we have, lost loved ones, and people that are sick, and the world that we live in. We need your help. Lord, even as I offer this prayer tonight, I have in my hand a prayer cloth, Father, for Sister Gladys Smith. You see these needs that she has, dear Jesus. So here we are going to preach about a place where there is no sickness. And yet holding in between my hands, my fingers here, this little cloth going to the body of a sister that has needs in her body because of sickness and one thing and another. So truly, we are living in a contrast, an extremity between such darkness and yet such great light that has permeated our souls. Help us tonight, Father. Would you help us to be able to take this journey? Help us, Father God, that we will be so affected by your words that we hear that we will never be the same again. Granted, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So let's leave Elizabethton, 2733, Elizabethton Highway, Johnson City, Tennessee. Those of you that are streaming in Georgia, Illinois, Australia, New Zealand, wherever you are, different parts of the states, may you be able to leave where you are. May we be able to, by the grace of God, go to a great high mountain. A mountain that, by the creative power of God, is in His attributes. Something that He so desired from before the foundation of the world to be able to make. Future Home, paragraph 398. On this throne, on top of it, 1,500 miles high, the whole world will see the light of the world. Jesus, sitting on the throne, on top of the world, top of the church, top of Mount Zion. I want you to notice now, there's three tops that He has here. When you think of how great this will be. In my mind, I'm sitting back here in the office a while ago trying to think and comprehend these statements. The Lord Jesus sitting on top of the world, on top of the church, on top of Mount Zion, and will be able to be seen from the entire world. So apparently there will have to be such a change geographically on the earth that it will no longer represent a spherical appearance of a globe in the sense of the way we know it, by which land masses will be part of them here, part of them here, part of them here. But to think that it will set 1,500 miles high, and no matter where you are on the earth, you'll be able to see Him. On top, notice now, Jesus sitting on the throne on top of the world. How will it spin the way it does now, over 1,000 miles an hour, and not be topsy to where it'll do this? How will He make it in such a way that all over the entire earth He will be able to be viewed? Now notice Jesus sitting on the throne on top of the world, top of the church, top of Mount Zion. Now remember, John has given this vision in a parallel, that he said, "Come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And whenever he looks, he sees a city. So Jesus is on top of the world, which is the planet, the new created, newly fashioned planet. But He's also on top of the church, which is the city. And He's on top of Mount Zion, which is pushed up out of the earth. So here's this mountain that pushes up out of the earth. Now remember, what John saw was the capstone of the mountain, a 1,500 mile capstone that sets upon the mount. So here's Jesus on top of the earth, on top of the church, on top of Mount Zion, which is 1,500 miles, half the size of the United States, and raises plumb up till you can see him the world over 1,500 miles high. 1,500 miles high. Now, can you imagine a city jutting up out of the earth, setting on this mountain, that will range 1,500 miles high? And from there, apparently, geographically, the continents apparently being brought back together as it was in the beginning before the separation come of a large mass of a continent, to where that no matter where you are on the earth, you'll be able to see him 1,500 miles high. Now, who is on the outside? Because those that are inside the city, they're living on the influence of the light of that Shekinah. So who's out there? John calls them the nations of those who are saved. Amen. Part of them will be the millennium people that got saved and got right with God. Others that have lived down through time that are not bright. Now notice, half the size of the United States, and raises plumb up till you can see him the world over. Though, listen, friend, what I'm saying. You'll be able to see him the world over. He will so make this earth in such a state under the order of the new creation that he will be able to be seen no matter where you live, what your address is, whatever land mass, whatever continent, wherever you live on, he will be the center of the whole new universe. Well, listen, that's the same way it is of everybody that's born again right now. The center of your universe is not your mama, it's not your daddy, it's not your favorite preacher, it's not your pastor, it's not Brother Branham. Every born again saint around the world, the center of their life is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right, and that's a lot of folks' problem around this message. They've made everything in the world the center of their life but the Lord Jesus. That's right. Now, notice this in paragraph 399, all up and down here. Now we're moving inside the city, the bride, the Lamb's wife. All up and down here will be the redeemed. There will be the houses of pure gold. Now, I understand, friend, no matter how hard we try in our imagination, we're so limited, but just follow me as best as you can. Can we imagine houses that are made of pure gold? Can we imagine streets that are made of pure gold? And it is gold. And remember that God uses things that John would be familiar with, but yet no doubt the gold there transcends anything that the earth holds. No doubt the sapphire, the chalcedony, and many of these other stones, they are given in a similitude so that John would be able to have something to compare it to. We have never seen, let me say it like this, I have never seen gold that was transparent. Because the metallurgical makeup of gold that we know will not allow you to be able to view it as a transparency. Because light cannot permeate or pass through gold. But this is a gold that apparently is the highest order of gold that has ever been created. Now think of it. He says up and down here will be the redeemed. There will be houses of pure gold. There will be avenues and parks and gardens. I'm talking about your new home. Amen. There will be avenues. Now remember, John saw one major thoroughfare, which he called a street. And he saw a river.
But remember, in order to cover a vast area like this, you cannot do it with one avenue. So what did God do? God broke it up in a subdivision type of form and made the avenue the main course by which everyone would gain entrance, and they would lead straight to the throne of God. Then branching off of the main at the street would come avenues which would subdivide and divide the city all around. And in there will be houses of gold and avenues, plural, avenues and parks and streams. Oh, praise God. There will be avenues and parks and gardens. Can't you see what we're describing? It's the new Garden of Eden. Avenues, parks, and gardens, and the river of life coming, trickling out from the throne and running down through little chasms and all over the terraces. Now here will come the river of life coming down through little chasms. That'll not be like the Mississippi or, you know, many of the rivers that you and I have seen that are so scary and overwhelming. It will not be like that at all. But it will be of the pleasantness by which the rippling sound of water will come. And it'll trickle down little chasms and over the terraces. And the tree of life will be blooming in every yard. Now remember, in the Garden of Eden, there was only one tree of life. But in this paradise of God, there will be one in every yard. The yard of who? The elect, who have already been filled with the tree of life while in this life. You understand, if you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, right in your soul already is the water of life, the tree of life, because you have Zoe living inside of you tonight. And there you will have your own tree of life blooming in your front yard. Praise be to God. And the tree of life will be blooming in every yard and bear its fruits 12 times a year and change its fruit every month. Notice the 12s again. Now remember, the 12 was the foundational number in this new city. So here we find 12s again inside the tree. Notice this tree. So it bears its fruits 12 times a year, and it also changes fruit every month. So we got 12s. And the kings of the earth shall come into it and bring their honor. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Notice, what do the kings get? The leaves. What do the elect get? The fruit. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. When the kings are living in peace out there, and when they go out, they will pick a tree, a leaf off like that, like the dove came back that the wrath of God had been settled and brought the holly leaf into the ark. So when the king leaves by bringing his glory, listen, friends, what he calls his city, into the bride's chamber. There has never been a bridal chamber of this size. Do you understand? 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And this is a bridal chamber. This is the bridal chamber. Oh, and you wonder whether he loves you or not. Praise be to God. He will, by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber here into the city, he'll hold a leaf over to his neighbor king and say, we're in peace forevermore. Amen. Healing of the nations, it's all settled. One time we fought for one another's blood. This lets you know some of these kings had lived in this life and they were former kings. They were former kings in this life, but somehow they embraced the truth, whether in their day or they were allowed to be darkened by blindness. And in the millennium, they received the light of God, but they were kings. Oh my, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were kings before and now they're kings again. Let me tell you one thing. If God can be able to transplant kings that were kings in this life and gave their life to Him into the eighth day and they'll still be kings, cannot He take kings of Revelation 1 and 8? He has made us unto our God kings and priests. Cannot He translate you? Cannot He move you from this world into this eighth day as kings and priests of God? Don't you understand what this is? It's simply a transplanting. It's picking you up out of time and moving you over into the eternal day. It's not making you something different than what you already are. It's only giving you a new body. You are now. What do people do when they transplant? When they make a seabed and then the seabed and they do it early so they can have cabbages and tomatoes and whatever more. Then they allow it. They put it in the seed form and they water it and take care of it. And then they transplant that. When the temperature gets warmer on the outside, it was a tomato seed when they planted it. It was a baby tomato plant when it come up. And they set it out in the garden when it got bigger. Is that right? What was it? Tomato all the way. You always was a seed of God. You never was a goat or a dog. Oh, you might have been called a Baptist, but you wasn't a Baptist a bit more than God was a Baptist. You was a thought. You was a gene. You was an attribute. Hallelujah. My, we cherished and hollered and shot and burnt children. You're talking about the grace of God. Some of those kings that'll walk inside of there and said, we shot, we killed, we done this and that and the other, and the mercy of God saved us. Well, some of us wasn't too much better off. We killed by our tongue. Well, praise the Lord. But now there is peace, the healing, not disease healing, it's all done. The healing of the nation, amen. 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles square with the paradises of God built all through that city. Streets, avenues, read Revelation 21. See if that isn't right. See, they have no need of light, therefore the Lamb is the light. And on the throne can be seen setting 1,500 miles. It don't run straight up like this. It slants off like the pyramid. If it would be high for the distance, then that would be run up like this. You'd be able to see from one city to the other. If you'll notice, from one side of the city to the other. And who'll be on the top? It won't be Brother Branham. It won't be Paul. It won't be your pastor. It won't be your mother. It won't be your husband. It'll be the light of the world, Jesus. Revelation 21:17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel, 216 feet tall. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. Let's look at this word jasper. Iaspis is the Greek word. A precious stone of various colors. For some are purple, others blue, and others green, and others the color of brass. There is one kind called azusa, like to air. Another crystal azusa, clearest crystal. So Pliny, a Roman historian, speaks of a white jasper called astrios, which he says is Cristallo propiquans, near to crystal found in India and on the shores of Paline. Well, Paline, nor India, nor Indiana, nor Africa, nor Tennessee, nor no other place can match the jasper of this city. Now, what kind of a city will it be that the walls will be like this? Now, the light of the city shines down from the top and it hits it as it comes down. But somehow this gold allows the light to pass through it. clear as crystal. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. Now, those of you that are familiar with Solomon's temple, what you find is a miniature of this in a very small form. The Bible tells us that Solomon garnished the temple with all manner of precious stones. And he also, the gold come from a place in the middle, oriental place in East there. Very, very expensive, very fine gold. Great parallel of this. But Solomon's temple could in no wise compare to the home God is going to prepare for us. With all manner of precious stones, the first foundation was jasper. You brothers got it ready to show them? First foundation was jasper. The second, the sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. Oh, my. Do you understand? Our God is a God of beauty. Amen. Now, not worldly beauty. We preach so much against beauty that we think, well, God, everything God loves, ugliness. Now, that's not true. God does not like worldly beauty. But God is the author of the original and true beauty. Who put all these elements in the earth? Who put all the granite that people take out of the earth and use it in their cabinets? Whoever 150 years ago would ever told you that you'd take rock out of the earth and polish that rock and it would be the top selling feature that everybody wants in their kitchen cabinets? Who had ever heard of such a thing? But yet, who put it there? God, in the molding of all the chemistry and the chemicals and all the photons and everything that took place in the atoms and the molecular structure. He knew what man would do with it. He knew what man would do with gold. He knew it, but God put it where? In the earth. Where does most of these things come from? The earth and the sea. In the earth is all of these precious things. Oh, where did he put it? He didn't put it out growing on trees where everybody would see it, but he buried the most of it, and you got to dig it out. You got to go through trial and labor to be able to take something same way with the seed of God that he put it where? In the earth. Some of you walking around, big cigar in your mouth, big cigarette. Some of you women, pair of shorts on, lost as you could be. Little did you know, little did the world know, there's a seed of God planted down inside of you. All it needed was a baptism of the Holy Ghost to quicken it and bring it out of that darkness. Amen. What was it, that treasure that was buried beneath his humanity? Can you imagine as John begins to look and see these colors and they're stacked one upon the other, 20 foot high. Each layer is laid one upon the other. Don't you see what it is? The whole entire city is surrounded by a belt of rainbow colors. Most foundations are laid beneath the ground, but these are too beautiful to bury. So he lays the first foundation on top of the earth, the second on top of that, the third on top of that, like Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos. Well, praise be to God. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience. Is that right? What's he doing? He's building a people to get ready to go to a stacked city. You are a stacked individual with the virtues of God built into your life and God molding you as he molded the clay and the cosmic life for millions of years and aeons of the ages that the earth was being formed. So has God molded his people down through time. Until it will be a work that will be so beautiful. Don't worry, Brother Donnie. Don't you think we'll be misfits in that city? I do not. I believe this city is speaking of the great work of the people that's going to live inside this city. It would be unbecoming of him to put trash inside that city. It would be unbecoming of him to put people inside of there that did not match such a place. You will match where you live. You will match where you're called to, because that's the kind of people you are. Can you imagine when John moves up in this vision? Now the time is 96 AD. This is close to the end of his stay on the Isle of Patmos. And he's carried up into this dimension. And as he moves up and he sees the city come down and the Lamb being on top. And the lights as they come down, the foundation stones of these colors possibly stacked one upon the other. And he sees the Lamb, the Shekinah, The Shekinah of glory of God. As it shines down the pyramid-shaped city, rolls down through and hits these foundation colors, and a rainbow totally surrounding it. A circumference. You imagine what a circumference of 4,500 miles, 6,000 miles, 10,000 miles out from that city, and here's all these colors. You're talking about the rising of the sun. My, many of you have been up whenever the sun would come up, and you'd see as it would hit the dew in the morning, you know, and it would glisten, and it'd come across the horizontal rainbow, and you'd see all that light and the colors inside of that. Can you imagine? This is the way it'll be every day. This is the way it'll be every day, because the sun will never go down inside this city. If you're wondering whether or not we're going to sleep, well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I'll read it to you. But the prophet of God said there'll be no beds in heaven. He said we won't be sleeping there. So some of you were curious. There's your answer right there. There'll be no... What in the world are we going to do? I don't know, but we won't be sleeping. Praise be to God. What in the world will we do for eternity? Well, I'm sure it'll be all about Him and all about us and all about how great He is and how great He thinks we are. You imagine as the seer looks in his view and he sees the spectrum of God's colors as it permeates Brother Terry down through that place, and he stands there in total awe. Yes, sir. As his breath. That's the bride. That's the Lamb's wife. Praise God. The fifth, Sardonyx. The sixth, Sardis. The seventh, Crystallite. The eighth, Beryl. The ninth, a Topaz. The tenth, Chrysopteris. The 11th, adjacent. And the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. So the wall is 216 feet tall. So you've got a gate. Who knows how wide, how tall? Spaced 500 miles apart. 500 miles apart. Praise God. Now all these stones here that you see up here, every one of them, man has enhanced them. Man has done something to them. But you know, the pearl is something that when it's taken out, that man leaves, if he leaves it alone, it's the only thing, unlike a diamond, which can be enhanced. Adjacent and amethyst, all these precious stones and semi-precious can be changed, cut, carved, and actually make them better. But the pearl, once it comes out, you'll never make it more pure. You'll never make it more admirable. Don't you understand? It's Jesus. It's the truth. How will we enter those gates? By the truth. Why cannot man leave the truth alone? But what does man want to do with the truth? He wants to embellish it. He wants to say it different. Don't you understand? This is going to be one of the challenges of this hour, of following the message of the hour, because we've got more educated followers of the message than we did the prophet who brought it. So now we got people that's got bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and all kinds of degrees, and they're smart, and smart alecks, a lot of them, and they're smarter than he ever was, and they know more than what he ever knew about it, so they think in their mind. So they want to take that truth and polish it up and say things, come on church, say things that he didn't say. Well, he almost said it. Well, we're reading between the lines. You're trying to take that pearl and enhance that pearl. Just leave it alone. It will get you into this city if you leave it alone and not tamper with it. Oh, praise God. Man can lift no tool on the pearl to enhance its beauty. Praise God. Now we know there ain't no clams in the ocean. There ain't no mollusk. There's no type of animal that could make a pearl this big. Now, I realize some of the theologians, they've debated it for hundreds of years, literally hundreds of years. Well, this is, you know, this is spiritual. It can't be. If God said it's going to be a pearl, it's going to be a pearl. Well, Warren lay no clams that big. He don't need no clams. He made the clam. He made the mullet. So if he wants a pearl this big, he'll make. Well, is it round or square? I don't know. I don't care what size it is. I just want to go in and out of it. That's my main concern. If it's shaped like a pyramid, like an egg, like a piece of broccoli, I'll be happy with it. Won't you? And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold. As it were, transparent glass. Now, I wonder how John knew this, since no doubt he had never seen any gold like this before. So it would make you think that it was something that was more like a polished jasper or something that was of crystallite. But yet John says it was gold. Don't you understand? The metallurgical makeup of this city is a reflection of the grace of God. Gold is deity. How do you get to the street? How do you get through it? Deity leads you up them paths. Praise God. Amen. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. So it must have had a hue of some sort. You know, the yellowish gold or whatever more. But yet, John said, I've never seen gold like this before. It looks like gold, but it's transparent. I can see through it. Wonder what he was seeing through it. What was on the other side of what he was seeing? Now listen. And I saw no temple, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Now, John is a Jew. The temple means a lot to them. But now, of course, 96 AD, it's been destroyed. But it's everything that John ever knew before the Lord Jesus come to the earth. It was around their life. It was as a male, he would go there 3 times a year. The temple was the focus of their religion. And John, Brother Randy, going about, maybe up and down one avenue in the vision, and the Lord transporting him from here to there, to there, to there, to there. And he said, I didn't see no temple. I didn't see no particular place where you would worship. Glory be to God. You see, a temple is wonderful except for the restrictions that a temple imposes. A temple means you worship there only. A temple means your worship, your sacrifice, your praise is more accepted there than anywhere else. But since there was no temple, it was speaking volumes to John that the whole city is a temple. The whole city is a sanctuary. And the Lord God and the Lamb are the recipients of the worshipers. Now I want you to notice that John, in looking at this, notice this again, he says, and I saw no temple there, and for the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. Notice he doesn't say temples. So John never looked and saw an old man sitting on a throne and then a younger man sitting on a smaller throne, of course, reduced in size, sitting over by his daddy and, you know, asking his daddy questions and stuff. But John said, I saw there was no house of worship, but I realized that the house of worship was the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Now here we are in the eighth day, and the title of Lamb is still being used. Praise God. Now remember, the days of grace are over because the object of grace has been produced. So once the object of grace has been produced, the need for grace no longer exists. But the medium, the channel, the mediator by which God projected the grace through, the Lamb will be worshipped through eternity. Now, of course, we know that God dwelt in the temple in the Old Testament. He dwelt, of course, in the body of the Lord Jesus. And now He dwells in the body of the bride. But God, now He was moving into this sphere where John sees Him. And He says, there is no temple, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. So the communion with Him and with the Lamb will move beyond a setting like this. Now, does God hear y'all's prayers outside the church? Can y'all pray at home? If you're at Walmart, you got a need, can you sit in your car in a parking lot? Oh, God, I'm sick. Please help me. Can God hear you? Sure He can. Well, we know then by the coming of the Holy Ghost, it is a foreshadowing of a time by which we will not be limited to where that we worship Him. So God wants John to be able to see, John, the entirety of this is a sanctuary. As I lived in my people on earth, so now the joint citizenship is being lived out in the eighth day. As I lived in them on earth, so now they live in me in here, and I will live in them in the bride. In the bride city, God is in them and we are with Him. Hallelujah! God, where is He coming? I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And what did John see? God saw the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb living where? Inside the bride, the Lamb's wife. Praise be to God. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. Now listen to this in future home. All of it, all of this earth here that we live in now, everyone, whether it be Christian or pagan, has temples. But did you ever think of that? Churches, all of them. But this one doesn't have any. The Bible said there was no temple there, but the Lord God and the Lamb is the temple. The Lamb is the light. The Lamb is the temple. The Lamb is the throne. The Lamb is the life. Sound like to me, he believes the Lamb is pretty much everything. He is that temple. All these temples have an object they are worshiping. But in this city, He is the object. He is with His people. His spirit light floods the pyramid city. In Revelation 21, 3 and 4, the tabernacle of God was with men. God is tabernacled in men. By redeeming him by these three processes, now God is going to redeem the earth and tabernacle in the earth with his subjects of the earth, which he brought forth from the earth. Listen to that again. God is going to redeem the earth and tabernacle in the earth with his subjects of the earth, which he brought forth from the earth. And through sin it fell. He had to let it go on. But now he sent Jesus to redeem that fallen earth, which we are a part of. There not one hair of your head will perish. Jesus said so. He said, I'll raise it up at the last day. Why? You're a part of the earth. Then what? God comes down to resident upon the earth, which he is a part of it, his own body. He raised it up for our justification. And we're justified by believing that and accepting it. Notice in types, Jesus becomes in the type. Jesus becomes man, God, or predestinated to take his place, to redeem us, to make all these things possible. So what do we come to talk about? It won't be going over to the side over to this preacher's house and say, where's everybody else? Oh, they're over at this preacher. He's the most important preacher in all the message. He's the most important guy. There won't be none of them people even there. If you fall in love with a preacher more than you do to Jesus, you need the Holy Ghost. Well, come on now. Notice the city had no need of the sun. neither of the moon to shine in it for the glory of God. Amen. Did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Notice Isaiah 60:19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God, thy glory. We don't need the sun. We won't need the moon. We won't need the stars. But the people on the outside will. You see, night never settles in the city itself. Lord, children, if you can see yourself when I'm preaching this, this is your soul in Christ Jesus. Night settles on our flesh, darkness, trouble, heartaches. But don't you understand, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, not another night can ever settle in your soul. You'll never have another day. Brother M said ever since he'd got the Holy Ghost, he'd been drunk every day of his life. He'd been drunk for 30 some years. That's the way every one of us ought to be if we've got the Holy Ghost. Does that mean our body don't have trouble? Oh no, all hell will break loose once you get born again. You'll have night in your spirit, you'll have night in your flesh, but your soul ain't never had another sprig of night since you got converted. Now listen to this carefully in Psalms 89:35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as that a witness in heaven. The sun and the moon will never pass away. God told Abraham his seed would rule upon the earth for 1,000 generations. It ain't never happened yet. As long as the sun and the moon endures. But in the city, can you imagine? Oh, let's see though. Didn't something like this happen before? Yeah. I remember. It was in the springtime when lambs are born. Amen. And the Magi were trekking across following a star. And all of a sudden, an angel of God appeared unto the shepherds, and the glory of God shone upon them. Now, you can imagine a great, brilliant power of God shining down in the form of a pyramid as it comes down from a star and appears to ignorant shepherds. Why it had to be shepherds. And the glory of God did lighten. So here are these men upon the earth, and the glory of God comes down, and they hear an angelic voice and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Go in the manger and see where the child lays. So what was they seeing? They were seeing a little small deposit of the future kingdom of the power of God. Who is it associated with? It wasn't with John the Baptist. It wasn't with Elijah. It wasn't with Moses. Praise the Lord. It was with who? The Lord Jesus. A Lamb of God. Remember when they was up on the mountain? Oh my, Peter and them got all carried away. I said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build 3 tabernacles. Let's build one for you and for Brother Branham. And let's build one for Paul. And let's build one for Moses. And let's build one for Brother Donnie. And the voice overshadowed them. Or the cloud overshadowed the voice unto them. This is my beloved son. Hear him. God don't want no worship to Moses. God don't want no worship to Elijah. God don't want no worship to William Branham or any other man. He's the one that ought to be worshiped, saints. Notice Jeremiah 31:35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. And the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then shall the seed of Israel also cease from being a nation before me forever. The sun and the moon are here to stay. And I need them. Now. But I won't need them. They'll be nice to look at. I might look out on the night lit sky if I wish to. Me and Carol step on our veranda. I love hearing the sound of water anyway. And as it comes down from whoever's mansions above me, and I'll, you know, be wherever it is that I get to live. And sat out there in the verandas, maybe watching the sun as it's setting out yonder. Our sun can never set, of course. But I'm watching as the darkness moves upon the earth on the outside of the nations that live out there. And I hear the water as it trickles down. And we sit there and we hear the birds as they, whoo, whoo. I reach over and take her by the hand. And there we sit, 18, 19, 20 years old. We've been there for 750,000 years. Neither one of us has got one wrinkle. I haven't turned gray. We haven't, you know, I mean, we're all the same. Praise God. Hallelujah. We say, honey, it's time to go up to the top. Let's go up to the top. Let's worship. Praise God. And the city had no need of the sun. Now notice, John don't say the sun ain't around or the moon ain't around. He just says it's off limits in city limits. Praise God. Amen. The city had no need of the sun. Don't you understand, friends? Those who are born again, while we are so weird and strange to the world and our souls, we have no need of Laodicea. I do not need alcohol to get so high in the presence of God. I don't need a pill. I don't need a drug, some sort of something to make me have happiness and peace and joy. I have no need of this world to bring me a joy that's beyond anything man can imagine. You understand what I'm saying? You feel the same way. I have no need of Laodicea's orders. I have no need of them to bring me peace and satisfaction. I already have the risen sun in my soul. The city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did not. So just imagine now this one little tiny appearing of the glory of God that shines upon the shepherds. Now you magnify that by 100 trillion, zillion, quadrillion megawatts. And you put it right up on top. And there he'll be. Can you imagine even the people on the outside? I was thinking of the same. The people on the outside will have to have changed eyes, or they wouldn't be able to stand that glory. You'll have to have changed eyeballs to be able to live in that place. The brilliance of that glory will be so bright and so imminent. Can you imagine a light that bright? You know how it is if you're going down the road in the dark and somebody with their halogen lights do not dim their light. You say, you crazy outfit. And of course, you sanctified ones don't flash your bright light on them. But those of you that struggle with sanctification, you just flash them right back. Uh-huh. Guilty, 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 guilty. Can you imagine it being so bright that it can be seen from around the world and the people as the sun is setting on the outside? They just kind of gather around their camps and their villages. They go to sing, holding hands. Oh, Adonai, Adonai, we worship you, oh, Adonai. We praise you, we praise you, O Adonai. They've done this every evening for the last 500,000,000 years. Nobody's tired of doing it. Nobody's weary of doing it. Nobody's wanting to sit down, and nobody's tired of clapping their hands. They've done it since the very first day, and they'll continue to do it for the rest of eternity. Nobody's tired. Nobody's sick. Nobody's wore out. And they're not even mad that they're not city inhabitants. They're just so glad to be there. They feel so blessed of Adonai. Oh my, can you imagine as they come inside the city and they bring their glory and honor and they see you and they say, oh, Your Royal Highness. Your Royal Highness. Who was that? That's the bride. Oh, Your Royal Highness. Oh, don't bow before me. I was just an old sinner. But God saved me. All worship goes to Him. All praise. How does it feel to live in here? Oh, it's wonderful. So, how does it feel to live out there? Well, it's wonderful too. Everywhere will be wonderful. No matter what street, no matter what avenue, no matter where you live, nobody complaining. Nobody aggravated. Nobody upset. Could you imagine this? The Shekinah. Now the Shekinah is the Father. You see, the Father incarnate Himself in the Lamb, the Son, in order to complete the work of redemption. But the memory of this is such a vital thing to God the Eternal. It will never be forgotten through eternity. He could have reverted, if he so wished, back to that original form of Lot. And when you would have walked up before the throne, there would have been no embodiment. There would have been no hands. There would have been no eyes. It could have been that original Shekinah. But he said, no, I want my own body. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are... Don't call them elect. Don't say they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord don't mean his bride. Amen. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord don't mean to get the Holy Ghost, but he can be saved. Amen. Notice how John divides it as he sees in the vision the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. So they're on the outside. And the light from the city as it comes down and reflects through the foundational colors, the rainbow. And they're out on the outside working and doing their daily routines and doing whatever more. Now remember, it's not labor work. Praise God. And they bring their labors, their toils, the prophet called them. But it'll be without sweat. It'll not be out there grubbing and, man, this is hard work. No. It'll be as it was in the Garden of Eden. They'll just take care of things. Praise God. And they shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth. Now notice there's kings of the earth and kings of the city. And they don't live in the same place because there are different kinds of kings. The kings, notice John puts a designation, the kings of the earth. Do bring their glory and honor. What are they doing? Paying tithes. The other 11 tribes brought their tithing to Levi. And Levi was in the sanctuary, the house of God, ministering to the king. Can't you see they're on the outside? They're doing the food and this and that and the other. That's not what you're going to do. You're not going to have great big farmlands and pasture land. My goodness, there ain't no big farms out in Kansas and all them places out there in the city. It's city life. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if you like living in a city or not, but you better get used to it. Because I'll tell you one thing, you're fixing to go to a city, my brother, sister. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't like to live, but people, you'll be changed. Don't worry. You're not going to be in there laboring and doing all that. The people on the outside do that, and they bring it into you. Your full-time job is ministering to the King. Do you think one of Solomon's wives ever had her hands on a mattock after she married Solomon? You think she ever put her foot on a spade and moved one shovel full of dirt? She was pampered and spoiled. Praise God. You ain't gonna put your hands on no mattock, no shovel. Your hands will be like, Lord God, Adonai. Lord God. Friends, I don't mind telling you, I worry about people in this life that don't love to worship our God. Say they're filled with the Holy Ghost, say they love God, and you have to pump and prime to get a worship out of them. There's something wrong with your experience. Don't you understand? We're living in a minor shadow of what we're fixing to go into. What does the bride do? The prophet tells us, question answer 64. What does the bride do? She ministers to her King. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, I hate to. I'm sorry. I hate to, but let's stand. I know. Look. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you want to go? Oh, if it wasn't for folks maybe that's still yet savable, and people that's backslid that can be renewed. I wish we could leave tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how can our poor, feeble minds comprehend such a plan? Such a city, such a magnificent, precious place that you have prepared for them that love you. We know this place was not built before you came to the earth. But you told us, I go away to prepare a place for you. And the prophet tells us that you've been there for many thousands of years preparing it. We know, Lord, the devil has been before your throne and the devil has been in the heavens. But he's never stepped one foot inside that city. Demons go before your throne. We know they do. There's never been one demon that's ever been allowed through those gates of pearl. I just can't keep from wondering, Lord, in the rapture and when we sit down at that table, if you ain't going to give us a little preview. Say, now, honey, let me just show you something. I just can't keep from wondering in my mind if you ain't going to take us for a swooping view of our future home. And then every now and then the millennium will be... we'd be allowed to make little drop-in visits. Praise God. What a place, Lord Jesus. But we are so grateful tonight that we don't have to wait to have peace, joy, satisfaction, joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have to wait to the millennium. We don't have to wait to heaven. We can have it right here tonight. We do not need the drunkenness of Laodicea. We don't need pills to get up and pills to go to bed, and uppers and downers and inners and outers. Lord, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for it tonight. Our soul has moved into the holiest of holies. As the tabernacle itself reflected even the future coming kingdom. The people on the outside, we know it was open to the starlight. But inside the holiest of holies, there was no candle there. The menorah was right on the outside, the seven-branch candlestick. But on the inside was only one light. No candle, no candlestick, no oil, no artificial light at all. If the priest saw any light, it was supernatural. Lord, help us that we can realize our soul is the same way. We thank you for the church age messengers. We thank you for preachers. We thank you for songs. We thank you for music. We thank you for all the things you've given us to encourage us. But Lord, songs is not what it'll take for the supernatural to fill the soul. Preachers are wonderful. Preachers can encourage us. But it takes you. You're the only one that can give the Holy Ghost. Help us tonight, Lord God. If there's one here tonight that's never moved beyond the veil, maybe they're just standing in the second realm, the outer court, still rallying around the menorah, the seven-branch candlestick, the seven church ages, the seven seals, the seven church age messengers, the seven reflections of lights, and the seven vials, and the seven this and seven that. Help them, Lord, to realize they must go on into the Holy of Holies. Oh, and that seven-branch candlestick, it's still there. We don't destroy it. It's still there. We thank you for it. But Lord, it takes you to seal our soul. Where we can say, I have no need of Laodicea's sun. I have no need of Laodicea's moon. Their rock and roll stars, their football stars, their basketball stars to illuminate my life. The root and the offspring of David. The bright and the morning star. Illuminates me every day that I live. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I want to carry out this part of my mission in life to worship you now, Lord Jesus. Not just to wait till that great day. I want to minister to my husband. Lord, after service, and when I get to go out on the rare occasion and shake people's hands and they tell me how they enjoyed the service and it was a blessing to them, I enjoy hearing that. Lord, it helps me. It encourages me. But when I get in that car out there, I pop them locks and we get in and sit down. Carol reaches over and takes a hold of my hand. She says, "That's so wonderful. Thank you. Oh, wasn't that so good?" Because I know she's going to be honest with me. If I said something wrong or if I didn't make something clear, she's going to share it with me because she loves me. I love hearing what she has to say about the service. She's my queen. She ministers to me. She sees me down when these people don't see me. She'll walk in that office when I preach something hard and straight before I ever get to the car. Don't you let the devil discourage you. You preach what the Lord put on your heart. You hold your head up high. You followed God. She ministers to me. Lord Jesus, let us minister to you tonight, Father. Praise God. Let us take these hands that at one time held cigarettes, cans of beer, maybe a marijuana thing, dope, whatever more, Lord. But tonight, they're holy hands. We can raise them in the presence of our great King, which is our husband, and minister. Oh, glory to God. Blessed be Adonai. Can we worship him a little bit, saints? Hey, saying whatever's on your heart there. Let's just worship him a little bit before we go. Can we take just a little bit of time? It's still a little bit early. Oh, my. Think of the place. is going to prepare for you. Because, oh, but Brother Donnie, I'm not worthy. Worthy? Huh? How could we even think of us ever being worthy of such a place? Forget worthy. It's a gift. It's a gift. He loves you. This is what He wants to give you. Receive it from His heart. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close.
Yes, Lord.
Closer, Lord, to You. Let this world around me.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Let it fade away.
Sing it together now as we worship.
Jesus, draw me close.
Draw us closer tonight, Father.
Closer, Lord, to You. Oh, I desire to worship.
Everybody, all your heart now. Oh, Jesus, draw me
closer, Lord, to You. Let this world
around me, let it fade.
Oh,
me to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Beulah Land.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye.
Jesus, as we come to the close of the service, I pray, Father, may there not be a one of us who's heard this tonight be absent on that great day. Keep us by your grace. Give us strength, Lord. Thank you for making yourself known to us. If we got to live in the farthest rank on the outside of the city, so far away from the city, we're the last one out, the last house and the last row, and the farthest perimeter that could be reached, it would be so wonderful to be there. But to think you have personally invited us to be city dwellers. Those folks whose house will be on the outside of the perimeter, they'll be blessed. But for those who are called to live inside your city, hear that water running over the great chasms, to live in that light, praise God, they will be blessed in such a way. Father God, thank you for your grace and your mercy to us, Lord. Go with us now, Father. If it be pleasing to you, bring us back again in the morning so we can hear more about our new home. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord, with all of our hearts. Go with us now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel Brown, would you come sing for us, brother, going up yonder? Come and sing that with us. Hallelujah.
Are you going?
Amen.
Y'all believe what he just said?
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this. Did y'all believe what he just said? Because I can believe what he said because I know he said it through him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is real. If you want to know where I'm going,
like I'm going. I'm gonna act like I'm going. I'm going in the rapture to be with my Lord. Sing it tonight as you go. You're dismissed this evening. Lord, I'm going in the rapture. Yes, I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm going in the rapture. Gonna be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Yes, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Gonna be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Yes, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. I'm going.